Cei bună băiți amigi doși, mei dovei omei nu, se năhălăche nu de soiro să fost. Cei bună băiți amigi doși, mei dovei omei nu, iroflor, iroflor,
well, good evening and welcome to the second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. This is Charlie Bernhout with 1 hour of Chazonus. I'm very pleased to have with me a young man who is a great fan of Chazonus. His name is Alexander Rabinovitz, and he has programmed this particular show, and he will be introducing these favorites of his and giving some background about each of the recordings. So let's get right to saying hello to Alexander. Hello, Alexander.
Charlie, thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor to be here.
Okay. I'm really pleased that you relieved me of the trouble of having to program this particular show. First of all, you know, we've met at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, and I know that you're a great fan of Chazonus. Why don't you tell us how you first got involved with Chazonus?
I first got involved. It's actually a pretty interesting story. The first time I ever sang, actually, in shul was with Chazon Malavani the year he got very ill, 2002. I prepared with him prior to Rosh Hashanah to sing a piece during Musaf with him. And as most of you know, he was unwell that year and couldn't make it to Rosh Hashanah services. Mm-hmm. However, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, when we went out to do Tashlich, he walked from his home blocks away from the synagogue, special just for me, in order that we could do the piece, which is also chanted during the Mincha service. So I was very inspired by that, and we sang the duet.
I believe you did the complete service for when your brother was bar mitzvahed.
I did. I sang Shacharis with the choir that Cantor Malavani put together from his students at the Bell School of Jewish Music at Yeshiva University.
Uh-huh. That must have been very exciting, I know. Your dad was very proud of that, I recall, very clearly. Now, you're a student at Ramaz?
I am. I'm in 10th grade at the Ramaz School.
Okay, and this programming is part of a special project, I understand?
Well, something that the sophomores at Ramaz have to do is something called Chesed Hours, where they go about to different Jewish institutions and organizations and try to help in any way possible.
Okay, and you chose to get involved with Chazonus and with me.
Well, Chazonus is a passion of mine, and if there's any way, shape, or form that I can be of help to someone that brings the best of it to us, I'd be honored.
Okay. What do we have lined up for our first piece?
Well, our first piece is Hamavir Banav from David Kasavitsky. What really exemplifies his career, his vocal range, the high notes that he hits at the end really tell all about David Kasavitsky. I chose this also as part of our Pesach special, because it recounts the story of the Exodus from Egypt, the splitting of the Red Sea. And I think David Kasavitsky does a wonderful job explaining it to us through music.
You know, there's always a great controversy about who was the greatest between the brothers. There were four brothers, and I don't get involved in those discussions, but you do have a member of your congregation, Andy Feynman, who thinks that David Kasavitsky is the greatest.
That's for sure.
Okay, so let's get right on to David Kasavitsky with Hamavir Banav.
Yeah.
Well, that's such a wonderful selection, and he does that so well. David Kusevitsky.
Wow.
Yeah, he really is a wow. Okay, I understand we're going to hear from Helfgott next.
Yes, the next selection was composed by Mordechai Sobel, based on the music of his mentor and cantor Yossi Malavani's mentor, Shlomo Ravitz, a famed cantorial music teacher in the Tel Aviv area. And this piece really contains, I think, the changing melodious themes that depict the Exodus. It starts, I think, in a major scale with Ha'otzalanu Nissim, very grand, to depict the glory of the splitting of the Red Sea. And then it goes into Vayotze Esamo Yisrael in a minor scale.
Okay.
Finishing off in a sort of dancing tune to depict the true ecstasy of Moshe and the people of Israel as they exited the land of Egypt through the splitting of the Red Sea.
I'm really glad that you're playing these, so you're preparing the listeners for the upcoming Seders. They're certainly so appropriate. Besides, I play Pitzes Yisrael over and over and over again. By the way, just as an aside, we are fortunate, you and I, that we live in this area where we can hear both the great Yossi Malavani and the great Helfgott.
We are blessed. Yes.
Of course, I always throw in Zevi Muller from West Side Institutional, because that's quite a trio. But these two that we're playing are certainly among the best in the world.
That's for sure.
Okay, so let's hear the Helfgott selection.
לכו, לכו, נשירו בשמחו רבו.
Health God, he really hits those notes, doesn't he?
What a note at the end.
Yes. So this prayer was certainly so appropriate. Part of it's the
it's the same text as the David's piece.
Uh-huh. And anything else you want to tell us?
About the piece?
Yeah.
I feel that, personally, I'm not a huge fan of orchestration in cantorial music. I feel that it takes away a little bit from the tom, from the Hamishness of, you know, what you envision as your classic cantor and choir. But I think the orchestras are so appropriate in describing the grandeur of what's trying to be expressed through the liturgy.
Uh-huh. Well, that's we can get into quite a debate about that. I was to a concert in Tel Aviv last summer, and the orchestra just drowned out. It was Helfgott and Mortzen and Adler, and I was sitting in the first row, and I could not hear the cantor.
That's a shame.
Are you going to hear the orchestra, or are you going to hear the chazan, whatever?
Sometimes I feel if you want to hear an orchestra, go to Carnegie Hall.
I'm with you on that one.
What Helfgott does here, I mean, when you close your eyes, I picture that this is the way Chazanis was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
You feel as if you're in Bethel 50 years ago almost.
Well, he certainly is one of the best around today, to say the least. I understand that our next piece is Zaval Kvartin with Leil Shimurim. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Kvartin's Leil Shimur. Well, that's one of the classic pieces from the Passover service. This is on the first night of Passover. We recount how this is the night where God protects his people, his nation, the people of Israel. And Leil Shimur means the night of protection. So this is one of the Ma'aravos, one of the special piyutim or special insertions that we insert into the davening, the service, on holidays such as Passover, Sukkot, and Shavuos. And Kvartin really does a beautiful job with his zugaris, with his this explaining through coloratura, through his deep tones, the meaning of what this night is all about, that God passed over the houses of the Israelites and protected us from the hand of Paro and his minions.
Okay, so let's hear the great Zaval Kvartin with Leil Shimurim.
Baby.
Well, that was a recording from the 20s, and by the way, people don't realize that in those days, the longest the record could be was 4 or 5 minutes, and then if it was a longer selection, you had to flip the record over to play the second part of a prayer, because I'm noticing that our next selection is 12 minutes, and that was an impossibility in the 20s and even in the 30s.
I think this was recorded in 1963, this next piece.
Uh-huh.
This is about Kvartan. You can just feel the expression in his vocal range, in his tones, in his color. You can feel the davening. You feel what he's trying to express.
Yes, we had Neshoma, and really... we can go into a whole discussion about neshama and believe it, whether you believe the words that you're singing, which is certainly one aspect of it, or are you just mouthing the words, and then do you have the ability to translate that into,
right. Do you understand what you're saying, the parish hamilim?
Yes. Yossi was our friend Yossi Malavani was mentioning that in terms of the nusach, you should be able to know just by hearing the melody, if you will, where it's coming from, which very few cantors really
appreciate.
Very few
cantors today. But years ago, when you had cantors, like Moshe Kosovitsky, Yesla Rosenblatt, the king of the cantors, Zelig Kvartan, you can tell in a second, for example, like the piece we were just listening to, Leil Shimurim, that this is done for the Solos Regalim. In specific, the Passover holiday.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Rachem Noah that we're going to be hearing with Moshe.
Well, Rachem Noah is one of Rosenblatt's pinnacle compositions. It really says a lot about who Rosenblatt was as a composer. However, this is being sung by Moshe Kosovitsky very late in his career, 1963. And you could tell his voice, not the same voice as some of his classic Anenu or Adhena, which were recorded much earlier in his life, in the 40s and early 50s. But you could tell he's giving all that he has. And there's something special about the voice and what he puts out on this record that really makes you think about the words that he's saying. So to continue on in the liturgy of the first night of Passover, in specific, we're in the Seder right now, following Shulchan Aruch. You can just imagine what it'd be like sitting there in a room with Moshe Kosovitsky leading your Seder.
He died in 1966, so this was 3 years before. And I have an album that was his last album, perhaps 6 months or a year before he passed away. You can almost hear in his voice that he sort of knew that his life was coming to an end. I imagine that. I don't know. It seems... strange to say that in a way, but you could almost sense that he knew he started to know that he was
very true
towards the end of his career.
In fact, Cantor Malavani once mentioned to me as we were walking home from shul one day with my father and my family that his last service that he ever conducted was a Shavuot service a few months before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were opening the Aron, he said to, I believe it was the choir master, Ben Friedman. I think Ben Friedman asked him, do you want to do a Brich Shmei? Do you want to do a piece before we take out the Torah? And he said, I just want to live.
Uh-huh. There's also a classic story that he was friends with Jan Pierce, and he was speaking to him a few weeks before he passed away, and he said, Jan, to think that this voice... will be buried with no one to hear it.
Very sad.
Yes, it is very sad. But it's also wonderful that we have all these great recordings of his, and he lives on through these great recordings. Okay, so let's hear. This it was a composition by Yesula, one of his most famous. This is Rachem Noah. ¶¶
melekin valis ruvila mecho, vialir shulayim irecho, vialetziyem ishkan kevudeyecho. Vial machul bizovit meshireyecho. Vial abayim sagudul viakudoy.
Shinoah
Yerushalayim Yerakoydush Bimherah 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 Beyameno
Peace. You know, he was in the concentration camp, and he was able to escape. I don't know if you know that story.
Through his voice.
Yes, and he then went to Russia during the war, and he sang in
the opera.
In the opera. You know that story.
Yeah.
It was so interesting. One of the things I always sort of imagined about those people who went through that kind of experience was that it also gave them a certain feeling, if you will, or ability to express soul. If you went through the horrors, if you will, well, even before that, if you were in the shtetl in the early 1900s and suffered, you almost have to suffer a little to get that soul music out.
I think the ironic thing about it is that it's a gift to us that they're able to express what they went through and give that gift of neshama to the listeners, to the mispalim, the congregants.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also interesting that if you go through that experience and you still believe, which is really someone of great faith. Helen and I were just reading a book about a friend of ours, a gentleman who we know, Label Zisman, who went through hell. And the fact that he went through that and still is a believing person, as a matter of fact, his book was called I Believe, it's incredible because it would be so easy to say, I don't believe.
Where was God during the Holocaust?
Yes,
is something. Yeah,
sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a whole different issue. I am amazed that anybody who survived the Holocaust still remains religious and believing.
And on top of that, to build up a career like many of these Chazanim had post-Holocaust, like Yehoshua Vieter and other cantors.
Yes.
Many cantors did perish. Gershon Sirota.
Sirota, yes, he was really something. And he was here in this country and could have stayed here, but he went back.
Went back, unfortunately, right before the war.
Yeah. Of course, no one could believe that that was really happening, and people didn't want to really believe how bad it was.
A prime example of that would be the great opera tenor Joseph Schmidt, who was also the cantor of the Berlin Synagogue in Germany, one of the most acclaimed singers throughout Europe, and was killed, I think, in a concentration camp.
Yeah, in Switzerland. He was the darling of the German people in the late 20s, the early 30s. Quite a story. There was a film that we just saw about his life. Okay, so Umipinechatoeno with the great Moshe Kuzovitsky. Tell us a little bit about this.
This is one of those pieces recorded much earlier in his career, probably in the late 1940s. And again, like his brother David, he had such a great range in the upper register. However, a little unlike his brother David, he had one of the greatest basses of all the cantors. So this really displays, first of all, the nusach, the traditional melodies of the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage festivals, as well as his incredible vocal range and his use of melody to describe the Parish HaMilim, the words of the prayer.
Okay, Umipinei Chatoeinu with the great Moshe Kuzovitsky.
¶¶
So interesting listening to that, the ease with which he moves, the moves are so effortless.
Agreed.
And it's part of his greatness, you know. Just a little bit about, I understand that your grandfather or great-grandfather?
My great-grandfather.
Was a chazen?
He was a tremendous chazen in the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
About what year would that might have been?
The 1940s, 50s, and early 60s.
Oh, really? It's a shame that we don't have any recordings. We would love to... by the way, if anybody has a recording of...
Harry Hooper or Tzvi Hooper?
Tzvi Hooper, okay. We'll see if we have anybody out there with some records lying around.
If anyone's curious as to the inspiration to my family's love of chazanis, definitely stems from my great-grandfather, Tzvi Hooper.
Okay, and did your dad get involved with singing at
all? Yeah, well, not with singing per se. He likes to sing, not necessarily a great singer.
Uh-huh.
More of a listener, more of a prototypical listener. he stood next to my great-grandfather when he conducted services on the Yom Yom Noraim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur.
Really?
And that was a very big part of his growing up. it really shaped who he is today, his relationship with his chazan grandfather.
Well, that's an interesting point. When you read about the greats, I often point this out, that when they were young, they sang in choirs. It's not exactly the same as your dad, but they were influenced by being part of that that world. But if you read the biographies of all the greats, Hirschman, Quart, and Rosenblatt,
they all sang in choirs.
They all sang in choirs, and it something rubbed off at an early age, where they believe it. It becomes part of them, versus somebody in the age of 30 suddenly deciding, I want to become a cantor.
That doesn't happen too often.
It's not to say that they can't. They can't do that. They can't acquire that. But versus somebody who for 25 of their 30 years were listening to it.
They know it's their calling.
Yes, and at the foot of, hearing greatness also is somehow or other they become infected by it. Affected and infected.
Definitely.
in a positive sense. By the way, does your brother Benjamin have a love of chazanis?
He has a love of chazanis as well. He loves going to hear Chazan Helfgott, Cantor Malavani, Zevi Moller, as you mentioned, on the west side. He also has that love of chazanis, definitely.
That's great. And does he sing? I know that...
Cantor Malavani taught him the Nusach for Friday Night, which Shlomo Ravitz, his teacher, mentor, taught him. So he, as I did, conducted services on Friday night of this bar mitzvah.
Had the pleasure of hearing Rabbi Lookstein at a memorial for Avram Davis, cantor, the late cantor Avram Davis, who was for many years at his shul. I understand that he is a fan of chazanis.
Well, on top of being an incredible rav and principal of the Ramaz school, he is a big fan of chazanis, and he's also a master of nusach. He has many tapes and CDs out that anyone can buy. To listen and to learn the proper nusach, the proper melodies that should be chanted on the various holidays and Shabbosos.
And there is a great commitment to chazanis, and I'm pleased that my friend Meir, the son of Avram Davis, continues at the congregation.
Definitely continuing the tradition of great cantorial music at KJ. I believe, in fact, many years ago, 70, 80 years ago, Shmuel Vagoda, one of the greats, was at Kilath Jeshurun when Rabbi Joseph Lookstein and the Ramaz were the rabbi.
Oh. Well, tradition is a wonderful thing, to say the least. Okay, our next selection we have, I think, is another Umi Pnei Chateinu. How come you selected two?
Well, they're very different. This is much more Zugarish, much more Rosenblatt giving his classic fluctuating full voice falsetto. And I think, I have a feeling this was recorded earlier in his career, I'd say probably prior to 1921, because he uses this powerful voice that you really hear more in the first half of his career. Mm-hmm. And it's really a tremendous piece. And again, it embodies the Nusach of Passover and the Shalosh Regalim.
Okay, so let's hear the great Yosler Rosenblatt with his own composition, Umi Pnei Chateinu.
Oh,
Okay, that was the great Yesula and Alexander Rabinowitz. You know, we're coming to the end of this session, and I'm so pleased that you took the time and also had the idea of doing this program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and I'm sure we have a return appointment after the holidays, so I want you to work on that.
Looking forward.
But as I was listening to Rosenblatt go up into the falsetto, you know, so many cantors today try to do the falsetto.
They try the falsetto.
Yes, I hold my breath, and you know, they may hit it for a second, and then somehow or other
It crackles off a little bit.
Why are they doing that? You know, it's sad in a way. And it's also some of the greats. You know, it's because they have a great...
top voice.
Yes. It doesn't necessarily...
Translates
into the falsetto. Like, just listening to Rosenblatt do that was...
It's certainly a special gift.
For sure. For sure. And when they have to work on it. You know, I don't know if they really work on it. And, you know, it's an instrument. And it has to be nurtured. And... some have it and some don't.
As is the case with many things.
Yes. So this project again that you have from the Vermont School, tell the audience again about your project.
Well, the whole 10th grade is required to do something, like Chas said, supportive in the Jewish community, a Jewish institution, an organization promoting something to help the Jewish people. And I figure, what better way than bringing which really is the life, the soul of the Jewish people through music. It's been with us for thousands of years in the temple, well, even before that, as we went through the Red Sea split by Moshe, to this very day. It's what kept the people alive in the shtetl, I think, the chazan, the choir, to walk in on Shabbos morning, where, let's say, the day before, you're persecuted in the marketplace. Let's say there was this terrible tension in the temple. You walk in 9 o'clock Shabbos morning, and you have a chazan get up there and sing the praises of God. That's something very special. That's something that this can't be described. Something that you can't. There's just nothing you can do that will get you the satisfaction, the special thing that'll keep you going. Yet yesterday, Rabbi Schneier mentioned Hashem livelo ira. God is with me and I will not fear. That's what the whole purpose of Chazanis is about. It's to bring to the congregation, the Mispalalim, the soul of the music. I believe the official name of your second hour is Second Hour of Jewish Soul Music.
Yes.
It's exactly what Chazanis is.
Yes, for sure. Okay, our closing selection is a rousing one.
Chag Gadya by Moshe Oyser. This is a happy song, A, because it speaks about the redemption of the Jewish people, the final redemption through the hand of God. But it's also happy because it signals the closing of the Seder.
Yes, and I hear so many different tunes, but it's nice that people still sing it and that they still have Seders. It's interesting, many people who are not quite religious at all, somehow or other, the Seder... is the one thing that
they keep
doing, and I find that so fascinating. they even eat matzah. Okay, this is Moshe Eicher, who was quite an interesting...
Very interesting.
Yes, because he...
He was a Broadway singer, chazan, entertainer,
yes,
radio personality.
And underappreciated. There are some pieces, I was just thinking that I really have to play some of his... he does some very fine cantorial pieces.
He had a very interesting voice. His technique was... It was really something that you didn't hear after. He'd get up there. He'd make the umud or the cantor's podium his stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that his style is for everybody. If he got up there today, I don't think people would let this fly. But to listen on recordings is really remarkable. Yes. Some of his pieces.
Did you ever see the film The Vilna Balabesl?
No.
Okay, I have to get. I think I have it on. I have it on the video. It's a story of a cantor in the shtetl, and he has a great voice. And the opera heads of the opera come to the shul and hear him sing, and they get him to leave the shul. And he becomes a famous singer, but then he becomes ill, and he goes back to the shul and sings the Kol Nidre, and then dies in the shul. Very, very dramatic, from the 30s, and that was Moshe Eicher. It was a great piece. by the way, I have a recording of that, and I perhaps will just play the record.
Sounds a bit like the jazz singer.
Very much. Very much. I think the jazz singer
was based off of.
May have taken from the Vilna Balabesl. Okay, so this is the great Moshe Eicher, and the album was Seder and Barry Gray. Those of us from a different generation remember Barry Gray. So, but we're not going to hear him. Let's hear Moshe.
Little bit, 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 little
Well, as you heard me say so often, time flies by so quickly when you're having fun, and I certainly enjoyed having with me Alexander Rabinowitz, who did me the great favor of programming this very fine show.
Such a pleasure to be here, really. Thank you so much. It's a fantastic experience.
Well, you know, it's such a pleasure to find a young man who loves Kazanes. I always note that you never know who's going to be touched by this great soul music. And I find it is a question of exposure.
And, very true.
We have to work on that. Actually, we have to find a way to get your classmates more interested.
I'm sure there's something that can be done to get it more out there.
Well, we'll have to speak to your teachers. Maybe we could bring in old Victrola and do a lecture on Kazanes. And you never know. At the Schmooze, a young man came in from Brooklyn. And I said, well, how did you first become involved with Kazanes? He said, I happened to be in the car with a friend 4 years ago, and he was playing a CD of Kazanes. It was the first time he ever really heard the real thing, and he fell in love with it.
Wow.
And, so you just don't know. You don't know what influence you might have.
It's the soul of the Jewish people, so it's definitely ingrained within the people.
Yes, and it's very special. It's unique to us, to say the least. So again, in regards to your mom and your dad, and I look forward to seeing you in shul, in the various shuls that we shul hop, and I look forward to your coming back again with the next program will be a great variety of those specials that you particularly love.
Very much so. Very much looking forward. Thank you so much for having me on.
Again, thank you.